This flashback episode of the Handcuffs and Sawdust podcast is brought to you by SurfPrepSanding.com. For all your sanding needs, check out SurfPrepSanding.com. Now, episode 16, which originally aired on August 4th, 2021, for your listening pleasure.
So I finally get up to the intersection. Sure enough, this guy's still sitting there. I see a driver in there. He's got his hands on his head. What the hell is this dude's issue? So I get out of the car, and that's when I see the body.
Good afternoon, good evening, hello, how are ya? Guess who's back?
Back again.
Back in black.
I'm
in the
black
sack. I see that.
Not yet. I will
been
be
so
soon,
long,
though.
I'm glad to be back. Brandon's back. Woohoo! This is Mike Morazzo. Yeah. That is Brandon Silvera. This is episode 16 of the Handcuffs and Sawdust podcast. Before we start, I want to thank again Nelson for filling in last week. It was fun. And now it just seems like we're back to normal. There's my buddy.
I feel like instead of the regular show intro, you should have played the song Reunited and It Feels So Good.
I would if we paid for ASCAP and we could afford that. I would have all kinds of music on here. But due to, rights. Hey, remember I told you that I would pay you $5 to sing?
Yes, I do remember. And you did.
Yes, I did. I sent you $5.
I laughed hysterically when I woke up in the morning and I saw $5 in my PayPal account for singing.
See? I'm a man of my word.
I was instantly reminded that I made an ass out of myself for the three listeners that we have, you, me, and probably my wife or my stepmom, Janet. I know she's a big fan of the show.
That's hilarious. I'm glad that they got to hear you sing.
Yeah, they've heard me sing before, but it's usually after several beverages.
Okay. Well, like the Joker says, I'm a man of my word. So I had to pay you $5. You know, PayPal's great because otherwise I'd have to ship you a check in the mail and that would suck.
Yeah.
Because I don't get to see you since you're all the way on the other side of the world. I had one other question for you because I asked Nelson, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to forget this. I sent you 20 stickers for the podcast.
I received 20 stickers.
Oh, good, because I sent them to Don and Nelson. And Nelson's like, I don't know, I got to check the mail. I'm like, check the mail? It was like a month ago. Got to go find those things.
It did take a while to get there. I think I only got them maybe like a week and a half ago, maybe.
All right, that's weird.
I got them, and then I had opened it up. I go, oh, I almost forgot about that.
Okay. I heard nothing. I saw nothing posted on Instagram that you received these stickers. No text, nothing. So I don't know if you got them or not.
I'm busy. I'm terrible at texting people.
Okay. Well, that's my preferred method of conversation.
Yeah, same here.
Is texting.
That's when people call me. I get a little weirded out like somebody's dead.
I will tell you that. Oh, shit. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Here's what I want to say to anybody that's listening, because I know my twin sister listens and I got some other family members who listen. Instagram Messenger is not a good way to get in touch with me. Just putting that out there. If you want to send me an important message and you have my phone number, do not send it via Messenger, because I shut those notifications off. And I don't want to hear all, because I get bombarded with videos and stuff from my buddies. And then my family members will send me a messenger. Oh, don't forget, this is very important. I sent you this. Well, fuck. I'm not going to get that for like 5 days.
Here goes level of importance, okay? If it's an important message, this is for everybody. It's the world we live in. If it's a meme or a video or something that is not important at all, zero importance, that can go in Messenger, a DM, something like that. If there is any level of importance to it or something that they need to see relatively soon, text message. If
right.
It's something that cannot wait,
phone
then
call.
We go phone call. If it can wait, put it in a text.
Yes.
If it can't wait, then phone call. And
why do we have to have these?
And if we don't answer, leave a freaking message. Because guess what? If you call me and I just either don't hear the phone or go, I'm not answering that because I don't want to, and there's no corresponding message, it obviously was not important.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to call you back right away.
Right. It's 2021. We have parameters that are set up for phone calls, text messages, and messaging services like Messenger.
Yeah. That's
you just ranked the it'd be on. Like your code. I don't you guys have those codes, the code one, code two, code I think. Oh no, priority one, priority yeah, two,
we
priority
have,
three.
We have priorities. This would be like right. a phone call PD. Would be like a priority one, like it cannot wait.
Yes.
We're gonna go right now.
Right.
Messenger
drop
is
what
like,
you're doing.
If we can get to it, we'll get to it. But the sergeant will most likely make it beat info. And nobody will
right.
remember it within 20 minutes.
Yes, that's Messenger. So I just had to tell everyone out there because that's an issue I have going on in my family. There are multiple guilty people with that.
I don't know.
So,
it kind of sounds like you singled out your sister.
Well, she's the main culprit. I love her to death, but for fuck's sake, text me. You have my phone number. So how was your week? Because you've been gone.
Yes.
And this is the first we've spoken in maybe 10 days.
It's been a little bit. So this most recent week at work was relatively relaxed, I guess.
I'm hoping more exciting than mine. So
yeah,
I have something
well,
for the show.
Potentially. Well, I'll get into the week prior to that, because that's when all the shenanigans
okay.
happened. Yeah. So we did we had a drug addict pass away recently, like 2 days ago, and decided like there were, the security so security guards are stupid and probably shouldn't
not,
have the job that they have.
Not all security guards.
No. 99.99999
infinity.
999 until I get tired. Percent. There's
what
like
if there
maybe
is...
one security guard. Now I'm not. Now I'm talking like
not security officers who are
no,
actually police officers.
Not
that
security
work.
Officers. These guys
okay.
that are like in right. their mid 20s that become like security guards are usually pretty worthless unless it's any type of reputable company. These I'm
one
talking
of them's
your average
on our new hire list.
Well.
He's
fire
a security
him.
Guard at the Motel 6. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, get rid of him. He's useless. So it's this super low-income housing that they use to get homeless people off the street. And the security that they hire to control entry and exit into these things, because they're not supposed to have guests, don't really do their job. And when one of their residents turns up dead, they seem to... be okay with letting the last person to see them alive that was in the apartment with them leave the scene before the police show up.
That's not good.
Yeah. So, and that's about as far into it as I can get because we found out we were able to ID him because he signed in under a fake name. We were able to ID him and find out that he's on parole. And we were going to take this a little bit further. And I hit up a buddy of mine and asked him, hey, do you know where this guy is? He goes, no, I've been looking for him for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Because this is not the first time this has happened with this guy.
Has he absconded from parole?
No, he still has checked in. His parole is
oh,
still valid.
Okay.
But there are some certain investigators who have questions that they would like him to answer. So I can't get too far into it just because it's brand new. But the week before...
Of course.
The week before, holy sheesh. So... I actually
yeah,
arrived
what was
to
that?
A scene. I got to arrive to a scene prior to a 911 call being placed.
You got to the scene before
yeah.
you were requested to the scene by a 911
yep.
call.
Yeah.
That's, I hate that.
I'm not
a fan
do
of doing that.
Especially when it's in a major intersection and it involves a car and a person.
Yee.
So let me just lay out the whole... shit show that this was.
All right.
So I'm cruising along and so I'm approaching this major, I mean, one of the most major intersections in the city. I see this truck. It's like late 80s, early 90s GMC Sierra 1500 single cab.
Okay.
So back when trucks were made out of metal.
Yes.
And it is stopped in the middle of this intersection. And I'm sitting there looking at it. What the hell is this guy doing?
Can you see a driver?
No, I'm just sitting there like, what the hell? What is going on here? And as I'm getting closer, I'm getting more and more irritated. So I finally get up to the intersection. Sure enough, this guy's still sitting there. I see a driver in there. He's got his hands on his head. What the hell is this dude's issue? So I get out of the car, and that's when I see the body.
A body.
A body.
In front of his truck.
A human body. Well, it was in front of mine.
Wait. He hits.
So I look down at the body, and it's, I mean, both legs are clearly broken. Arm is clearly broken.
Oh, no.
And all I hear is him going.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah. I go, oh, no. All right. Well, let me get everybody here. So it's just me, middle of this intersection at about 10:30 at night.
Okay.
Like, all right, I need, I think I said, I need the channel. send me the channel.
What? Everyone on the channel, come to my location.
On the channel, I need you here.
Right now.
Because truck hit guy, not good. Guy bad.
Oh. Do you guys?
So
I'll ask you.
We get there, and I mean this poor. I mean both guys. I feel bad for both of them. I mean one of them. I mean obviously he passed away, but the driver I felt bad because it was a legit accident.
Yeah, a pedestrian crossing and at night with no reflective clothing on and.
Yeah, against the little orange hand.
Right.
So
maybe he doesn't read sign language.
Yeah.
Or he didn't read sign language. Now he doesn't read anything.
Yeah, so I think the driver, we estimated, hit him at about 45, 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
And then didn't get a chance to apply the brakes until after impact.
Oh,
so
man.
From point of impact to point of rest was over 60 feet.
Okay.
We did do CPR on him. I think mainly because...
To make the guy in the truck feel good?
The driver feel a little bit better of like, he's got a chance.
Right.
But when the paramedics show up and you look at him, you're like, he's... Eh. So they took over once CPR started because per their policy, they have to do it for 20 minutes before they can call it.
Right.
And if there's any inkling of hope, they'll transport to a trauma center where the trauma team will work on him for a while. And then the trauma doctor... I mean, when you hear the trauma doctor in the room tell you everything's broken...
Oh God,
that's usually.
Did
not
you
a good
go?
Sign.
You followed the ambulance to the hospital.
Yeah, so I followed the ambulance because I was the only one not blocking traffic because I was right there.
Okay.
So I went there. They worked on him, and it was one of those things where before I left the scene, I knew he was dead. Before I started the first chest compression, I knew he was dead. I've heard that little sound before.
Yeah,
and.
Did you hear the agonal breathing or no?
Yeah, that was what the last little bit was before the final little exhale, which is I always will say that it's the soul escaping the body. That's when you've taken that last little bit. So yeah, get to the hospital. They work on him, and they called it relatively quick. I was surprised they worked on him as long as they did because it was pretty. I mean, it was obvious to me. I mean, his eyes were open when I found him, and they never blinked once. And I mean, if you've seen one person who's dead, you know what that look, what that dead look in the eye looks like. And that was what
unfortunately
it was the second I got there.
Yeah, I have a couple incidents similar to that, if I can.
Sure.
So one was we got a call. This was last year. I think it was winter time. It had to be rush hour was just starting. It was at the end of our shift. And we get the call for the pedestrian struck by a car on our main thoroughfare. Traffic's only 30 miles an hour there, but during rush hour, fucking assholes drive like 50 miles an hour. So there was a woman walking from the south side of the street to the north side of the street, half a block from the intersection, major intersection, where there's obviously lights and crosswalks. So this woman is standing in the middle of the street, and someone driving by hits her with a mirror of her car, and it knocks the woman down, and then a truck rolls over her.
Eesh.
So my partner, who was first on the scene, he's not there 3 seconds. And I hear him say, "We have a fatal." 3 seconds. And I'm thinking, well, hold on a second. How does he know?
You're not a doctor.
All of her guts were out of her body and on the street. Hence, he knew right away.
I have seen somebody survive being eviscerated.
Oh, no. Well, before we get to that gross story, back to your, you arrive on a 911 scene before the call for 911 goes out. Many years ago, I was on 3 to 11s, and it had to be, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night. And I was doing my
almost
last round
it.
Of patrol. Almost made it around a patrol. It's raining really bad. And I turn southbound on a one-way street off our main street, and I make my loop around. I come back northbound, back up to the main street, one block west. And as I turn east to go back towards the station, I see this humongous wreck right in front of me. Car gets T-boned, pushed into a telephone pole. I mean, it literally happened. As soon as I turned right to go eastbound, it happened right in front of me, literally half a block away, maybe 200 feet from me. And I'm like, holy shit. So I call in, I got a major traffic crash. You know, I need all the units that we have over here. And this guy was traveling westbound. He was going to go home. I didn't know it at the time. He had a daughter with him. So he's westbound. He's waiting in traffic to turn southbound on the one-way street that I had just driven on. It's a 4-lane highway. Or roadway. People coming from the west are doing at least 45 until the speed breaks down to a slower speed. And it's raining, and he turns left in front of someone traveling probably 45 miles an hour, which T-bones him and then pushes him up against a telephone pole. So the passenger side of the car was crushed by this other car, driver's side of the car crushed by the telephone pole. And it blew out all the windows, blew out this sunroof. And I run up. There's someone at the driver's side door because he was right behind the car when it happened. And I pull up right behind him. He's already at the driver's side door, and he's like reaching into the car. And I'm like, don't touch him. And he's like, I'm a paramedic. I'm like, touch him. Whatever you got to do. He's like, okay. So they EMS comes. They extricate this guy. He had a bunch of clothes in his car, like in the back seat. So I'm like going through the car. I can barely get in there because of both sides of the car are crushed, you know?
Yeah.
So I rip open the passenger side door, and I'm in there, and I'm moving shit around, clothing and stuff. And then I find a 7-year-old daughter buried under the clothing on the floor of the car, and her head, she's suffered, you know, major head trauma. So we get her out. And the dad died. He died almost on impact. And the daughter survived. Her name was Kukla. I remember. I still know her name. I went to see her in the hospital a couple weeks later. She had a fractured skull, which is in numerous pieces. And they said the part of her brain that suffered damage would be the part that is responsible for your emotions. So physically she was okay, except for the fractured skull, and then the brain damage would affect her growing up emotionally. She wouldn't have any, be able to feel any emotions. So that was my 911 call before 911 was called.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah, but I'm just glad I was checking the car for some reason, because they almost just left it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what sucks?
It probably saved her life.
It probably did. He lived, I think it was 20 houses away from where he turned. If he would have just waited in a rainstorm 1 minute, 30 seconds till the car passed, you know? So anyways, that's my sad story about showing up on a 911 call to crash. All right.
Jeez. Well,
just bringing everybody down.
All right. So for those of you that are already suffering from depression,
here's a little another bit of about here, for you.
Here's a little bit more for you.
If you don't have enough on your plate, I'm scooping more shit on it.
So the rest of the week, let's see. I'm just going to blow right past it. We're going to move on.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the play?
Well, the beginning part was great. The ending kind of sad.
Yeah.
The rest of the week was just, it's just busy, man. Well, a lot of calls for service, a lot of like kind of calls that don't really amount to much.
Okay.
Just people like we had one last night. I think it was our last call of the night. It actually made me laugh. It was came out as a domestic disturbance where the call taker could hear like a loud verbal in the background between a man and a woman. So we jam out there and find both of them standing out on the sidewalk. Like, all right, what's the deal? And I'm talking to the girlfriend. She's like, yeah, he's just upset because I won't talk to him. Wait, what? Yeah, he got pissed off because I didn't want to talk to him. But he's the one that called the police. Yeah, I know. I told him. Like, I'm not hitting you. I'm not kicking. I'm not hurting you. Like, why are you bothering them? And I thought that she was just being, you know, dramatic with why.
Yeah.
Trying to downplay why there was a 911 call. And I talked to my buddy that was talking to the guy. And I go, so why did he call 911? Because his girlfriend wouldn't talk to him. Like, are you? Wait, what?
So, and I have a question. Do you do paper on that? Because I brought it up in this last episode with Nelson that we have to do physical reports for domestic verbal arguments.
So it's interesting you bring that up. When I worked in Monterey, we had something that was called an MP domestic, Mary Paul domestic, which I always assumed stood for Monterey Police Domestic. Which basically, if you were in one of the qualifying relationships for domestic violence, if you so much as argued and that argument rose to the level of police being called out, a report was going to be taken.
Yeah, which is against everyone's civil rights.
Yeah, more or less.
So, no, no more. No.
It's just documentation. Literally, all it was like,
it's none of your business.
To this call.
None of your business.
Don't argue. A verbal argument. The police has to be called.
Someone sticking their nose into someone else's business.
Yes. Brings me to my next point. Mind your own damn business.
Right. I don't need a third-party caller saying a man and a woman are arguing. So what?
Yeah.
Mind your own business.
Now where I work, we would clear that call and just never think about it again. Like we did
with
this
nice
one. Yeah.
Okay.
We just would look at it. So it was just an argument because she didn't want to talk to you? Yes.
Okay.
Did she hit you? No. Did you hit her?
Right, there's no violence involved. No threat of violence involved.
And I think because it was right about the time that we're about to head in, and it was my Friday. So sometimes I don't have the most patience. So yeah. I believe what I said was, so she didn't hit you? No. It was just verbal? Yes. Because she didn't want to talk to you? Yes.
See,
so why am I here? Why am I here?
Right.
Well, okay. Well, do you think you're going to be fine? Are you okay now? Yes. Okay. We're going to leave. If something happens where it's going to become physical, leave. Separate yourself from the situation. If it does become physical, please call us and we will take everybody to jail.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Well, we'd be required to write a report on what he said, what she said.
Well,
when it's no one's business. Yeah, I don't mean to say this for the second episode in a row, but it really is nobody's business what if I'm arguing about what pizza I want with my wife.
Well, and that's always been my thing. Is like, if arguing with your spouse was a crime, I think everybody in this country would have been to jail already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we're gonna if that's gonna be the threshold, then you're gonna need to rethink that whole defund the police deal. But
that's it for the rest of the week.
It was pretty much it. It was a pretty slow week. I mean, we ended up having a report of gunshots. I actually found the casings and found video of the jackass driving down the street, firing up into the air.
At the window?
Yeah. Like, God dang it.
Where do those bullets come down?
I said the same thing. I go, how do we never get a report of a bullet just coming through a roof?
Right. Or someone's head.
Yeah. Or like through a car or anything. Like, we never get a call of like, hey, I found a bullet in my yard.
Right. Where is it going? I've always wondered that.
I don't know. Because gravity goes up. It's got to come down.
Of course.
And we're not shooting a Barrett 50 cal where, like, we actually have a shot of getting it pretty high. Like, there's no crosswind. Like, if you shoot a 9mm straight into the air, there's no way that it's going to get high enough to where a strong crosswind could blow it that far.
I don't understand the physics of it. I just know that every time I see some shithead doing that, the bullet never comes down and strikes them. I'm wondering where the hell it's going.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, it's...
You see the Al-Qaeda guys with their AK-47s doing it all the time. Those fucking bullets should rain down and kill the whole troop.
You would think.
We should be so lucky.
Yeah. I got to go through it. I got to look through the Mythbusters like back catalog to see if they ever tested that. Because I feel like that's something that they would have tested.
That does sound like it's something that they should have checked.
Yeah. So that was the only other like real eventful thing that I remember.
Okay.
I had another interesting experience with an airline this time, not a tire shop.
What?
So,
like what?
Okay. So flying out to Denver for our little weekend getaway to go see Grandma and Grandpa with the kids.
Grandma and Grandpa live in Denver. They smoke pot?
No.
I'm just curious. Okay.
I'm sure at some point they did. Probably, I'm going to guess, mid-late 80s.
Okay.
Probably even into the 90s.
Into the 90s? Okay.
I'm going to guess. I don't know.
It's possible.
Nothing,
they're in Colorado.
Up. Yeah. Well, okay. No, they didn't start out in Colorado. They ended up there.
Oh, all right.
They're California transplants.
Gotcha.
Before it was cool to flee the state.
Now it's in vogue.
Yeah. So anyways, I get off work Thursday, and we had planned on, instead of me coming all the way back home and then like coming up the next day to maximize our time, we would just fly out Thursday right after I got off of work.
Okay.
So decided to fly Southwest. I got a direct flight. The want-to-get-away fare is pretty cheap. Sure, why not? So we booked a trip. It's supposed to be direct flight San Jose to Denver. About a week before.
That's what the paperwork said?
That's what the paperwork said.
Okay.
About a week before, we get an update. Hey, your flight didn't fill up. So what we're going to do is we're going to push it about 2 hours. And we're going to add a stop in Vegas.
We need more people on this plane.
So we can fill up the plane, make it worth their while to actually make the flight. Totally get why they're doing it. If you're flying for a cheap fare, you kind of have to expect that kind of thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, fine, whatever. I go out to go off to breakfast, get some pancakes.
Breakfast.
And,
pancakes, that sounds good.
I love pancakes.
Me too.
Picked up a shirt for Brian over at Dogwood. He's going to come pick that up on
the shirt
this weekend.
I'm wearing his shirt right now.
Yeah, so I got him one of our PD shirts.
Okay.
And then met the family at the police department so we could all go off to the airport. Get on the plane, everything's going honky-dory. Land in Vegas. All the people who are going to stay in Vegas get off the plane. Other people get on the plane. The pilot comes on.
This is your captain speaking. It looks like we got a little bit of weather just outside of the airport, so they're going to hold us here on the runway for about about 20 minutes. And then we'll be on our way to Denver.
All right, fine. We'll just... I mean, it's not a big deal. It's 20 minutes, right?
Okay.
So I finally get up in the air. And I think the flight time from Vegas to Denver is supposed to be something like an hour, hour 30, something like that. About 45 minutes in, I feel the plane turn. And then, yeah, that's weird. And then, ding.
This is your captain speaking for the flight deck. Looks like we've got some weather in Denver, and they're diverting us to Salt Lake City for a little bit. So we're gonna head to Salt Lake, and then we'll see if this weather can clear out.
All right. So
they're gonna fly around Salt Lake, or actually land in Salt Lake.
So I think the plan was to land. I'm assuming they were going to need to refuel or something like that, because I don't remember seeing a fuel truck come to the plane in Vegas. Okay. Which, if you're just going to go to Denver, it wasn't going to take a full load anyways. So feel the plane start to descend into Salt Lake. All right, cool. We'll hang out for a little bit, figure out what's going on. Hopefully we don't have to stay here because I don't know anybody in Salt Lake City. So we're going down, and then all of a sudden I feel the plane go right back up.
Well, that's the old touch and go.
No, we didn't even touch. we stayed up. I didn't even see the ground. So I'm like, all right, well, so much for that.
Ding. This is your captain speaking for the flight deck. It's a little windy here in Salt Lake, so we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna circle around and try that again.
Like, all right. I'm starting to lose confidence in you, Chief.
Captain.
I feel the plane start to descend again. All right, cool. And we get to about the same point. And then all of a sudden the plane comes right back up.
What the? It's like a roller coaster.
What the hell is going on here? And I felt so bad for my wife. I look over at her, and she's about six shades of green.
Oh.
Just sitting there, head in the hand next to the two older kids.
Yeah.
Just kind of eyes closed, shaking her head. I've got the baby on my lap, and she's like, yay, this is fun.
She's on a roller coaster.
Yeah, she's having a great time. Yeah, he comes back up. We make another. I feel the plane start to turn again. I go, is he going to seriously try this again? Or, like, what's the deal? Like, we got to eventually do something. And then a couple seconds later, we hear the bing.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your captain from the flight deck. We've got some shearing winds here in Salt Lake City, and it's making it a little unsafe to land. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to divert to Boise. Should be on the ground there in about 45 minutes.
I love Boise.
Yeah, I love Boise too. I have my grandma there. So I'm like, all right, fine. Well, if we end up in Boise and
can't get
to Denver tonight, we got a place to be, someone to see. It'll be fine. It's cool. Whatever. And my poor son, like, he's old enough. He's 8. He's old enough to kind of understand, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, Dad, this is... Like, you can see him physically having a little bit of anxiety.
Aw.
So I'm having to lean across, like, hey, do I look worried? No. Okay. Then you don't need to be worried. If I look worried, then be worried. It's like, we're just going on an adventure. We're taking a tour of the Western United States.
Right. It's so free. We get to see all these other cities for free.
You can see all this other stuff for free. It's great. So we land in Boise.
Get BOI, to the gate. For those of you that want to know the airport code.
And ding! Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain from the flight deck. We're going to go ahead and refuel here and we're going to double check the weather in Denver and see if we can get you there tonight and not have to make you stay here.
All right, cool. About 20 minutes later, comes back on and says, yeah, all right, hey, we got a window. Like, this window better be pretty big because I got to tell you, bud, I'm losing confidence.
It's not looking good.
Yeah. So eventually they get us refueled, get us back in the air, and the rest of the flight to Denver was fine. But by the time we landed in Denver, we had been on that aircraft, that specific aircraft, for over 12 hours.
Oh, my God. You could be in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I said.
What the
hell? We could have gone to Hawaii and back.
Holy moly.
So, and I gotta give it to my kids, because they handled it a hell of a lot better than a lot of the adults on that plane.
That's good.
So that would be great if the story was over there. But like Billy May says, but wait, there's more. So we packed two suitcases. One suitcase had toiletries in it.
The other suitcase
had clothes in it. All the clothes, everybody's. So we go down to baggage claim, which if you've ever been to Denver, to the Denver International Airport, you know that you get to ride a train.
I've never been there.
So quite literally, this was out of planes, trains, and automobiles.
Nice.
So we get to the baggage claim area. First bag comes off. Grab it. Got one. Perfect. All right, cool. We'll just wait here. Now wait. Now wait some more. And I start to see these bags come up. I'm like, oh, cool. There's the rest of the bags. It's got a different flight number on it.
What?
Yeah. So the next flight came in, and then those bags started coming off.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, don't tell me they lost a damn bag. All right.
Let me go over.
Let me go over to the freaking customer service people who are just always in a good mood.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind, I worked midnight shift.
Oh, I know. You've been up since two in the afternoon the previous day.
To the airport. At this point,
You're rocking 30 hours.
I'm rocking 32 hours.
There we go. 32. Yeah.
I go, hey, are there any more bags coming off of this particular flight? Because I had two, and I only have one.
That many.
I had this many. I came with this many. I checked this many. But now I only have this many. And then this many is not good. She's, oh, crap. Let me check. It shows it got off the plane.
It certainly did. Somewhere.
Yeah. Like, just don't tell me that it's in Vegas, because I'm going to lose it. I'm hanging on by a very thin thread, my friend. Let me see if maybe just got stuck in the little ramp thing. I'll have them send some bins up. Maybe if it did get stuck, it'll knock it loose. I'm like, lady, I'm missing the big bag. Your little plastic bins are not going to knock it loose.
Right.
So they send the plastic bins. The plastic bins come up. Guess what? No suitcase. She's like, I don't know where it is. God dang it. All right, fine. Let's do the little claim thingamajigger and get that all situated.
Started.
Yeah. I turn to my wife and I go, hey, this is the bag we have. Which bag is this? She looks at it and she looks at me. She goes, it's the toiletries. Perfect. Of course it is.
Of course. You're going to be wearing the same clothes for days.
So by the time we get to my dad's house, it's like 2 in the morning. We were supposed to land at about 6:30 in the evening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we get there. One bag.
A trip from hell. Want to get away?
Yeah.
Save money.
So they ended up actually finding the bag and delivered it the next afternoon.
Oh, that's good.
But we didn't find out about it. Like, in the morning, we were like, well, let's just go to Walmart. We'll grab some clothes for the day.
Yeah.
And hopefully, because they said typically they find it within 24 hours. So I was like, well, let's roll with that. And it's funny because my wife just came downstairs and she could hear me talking about the story. She just walked over here with, like, I could hear through the headphones her eyes roll.
That's funny.
So we go and get the clothes from Walmart, and then they call us. Like, where the – well, they didn't even call us. They were supposed to call us. They sent an email. Like, we found your bag, and your bag is scheduled for delivery. Like, great. Let's get that hurried up.
Back to your house in California.
Yeah. No, thank God they actually delivered it in Colorado, because we would have had to go out and buy even more clothes and then suitcases to put them in.
Right.
Just so that they could be lost. But it was really fun going out there, because it's been a long time since I had actually been out to Colorado to visit him. So after my dad retired, he retired in 2016, and they've got like 20 acres out in the country.
That's my plan.
Yeah. and kind of after that weekend, like, I'm ready. Let's see if I can make that happen.
Right.
So he started up this hobby of, I mean, he's always been a car guy. I'm not a car guy. But he's always loved, like, classic cars. He loves restoring them, working on them. And he had, like, this little, well, not little yet, had, like, a big shop built. And kind of like how, it's the same story as a lot of us who started doing woodworking as a hobby. It starts out as a hobby, and then more and more people start saying, hey, could you do this? Could you do that? Could you do the other thing? Could you, hey, maybe try this? And next thing you know, he's built two more shops that are all connected with, like, a big ass professional spray booth inside one of them.
Awesome.
Hydraulic lift in another one.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, he's got Chevelles for days.
Awesome.
And now it is a full blown, full time business with employees and everything.
Did he put a sign up outside?
No, he has no sign. That's okay. That was the part where I was like, he should probably, like, maybe add that.
What did he do for a living before he retired?
He did a lot of stuff. He was, I think, right before he retired, he was doing IT stuff for, I think, for like a law firm.
Can he figure out my Apple problem with the podcast?
He probably could. I don't know. But, and it's really cool. Because he was always one of those that, you know, he was working to provide and not really doing what he wanted to do. And this is the happiest I've ever seen him.
That's where we want to be when we retire.
Yeah. So that's why I'm wearing the their Boneyard Customs hat.
If you know anybody that can get me one of those hats.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know.
We can find you one. I'm sure there's plenty. So yeah, that was about my week. So how was your week, Mike?
So you heard about the mean cat in the last podcast? Did you listen?
I did.
All right, we didn't have any of those calls. Actually, on Monday, I didn't have anything of consequence on Monday, so that was nice. I got nothing for Monday, and just a few things that were kind of entertaining on Tuesday. So we get a call for a female who's trying to get into a building. And she might be nuts, and she's intoxicated. Why does everybody have to say that person's intoxicated? It's not against the law to be drunk, right?
Well, in public.
It depends.
If you're so drunk that you can't care for your well-being.
Yeah, if you know that person's drunk, like you've seen them drinking, you can smell the alcohol, you know, all that kind of stuff. Don't just assume someone's drunk. Because they might just be nuts, like this woman.
I assume everybody's drunk.
And I assume everybody's nuts. So this woman, she's off a rocker. She's, unfortunately, she's homeless. She's what we call 1096. Crazy. A little crazy. And I come up, I don't know why I went on this call. It wasn't my call. I was like the third officer, but I got there first. But whatever. So I make contact.
Funny how that works.
I know. I make contact with her. And she is so violent to me. And rude and yelling at me. I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm here to see my friend. I'm like, can you not yell at me? I'm standing right in front of you. Fuck you. Okay. What's your name? Figure it out. I go, you know how I figure it out? I arrest you and fingerprint you. Do you want to figure it out? Fuck you. I said, listen, just tell me who you're here to see. We'll get you in the building and you can stop bothering people. So then someone that lives there shows up, and I'm like, hey, man, let me in the building. I need to go to this apartment number and ask if this person's there. They're like, okay. Go knock on that door. Ain't nobody in that place, especially named the person name she gave me. So we get her to
you
leave.
You mean there was nobody in the apartment called Fuck You?
No, nor whatever the hell else. So we get her to leave, but unfortunately she goes across the street to the Dunkin' Donuts, and she's just sitting out in front. And the caller came up to my squad, and he's like, hey, I don't know what you can do about that. And I'm like, well, she left. That's all we can do. I said, you know, she's not drunk. She's not intoxicated. She is a little bit off a rocker. So she ended up coming back. We left. And then, of course, she goes back. And I don't go this time because I don't want anything to do with it. Not my problem.
Once was enough.
Once was enough. And, of course, the guys talked to her. By the time they get there, she's now once again across the street near the Chase Bank, not on the property. She's no longer causing a scene. And then the one guy says to my buddy, "You need to arrest her." And the first thing they say, that's the first thing he says when my buddies show up. And my buddy goes, "You don't tell me how to do my fucking job."
I like your buddy.
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, you need to arrest her." "What for, lawyer? What do you know that I don't know?" So they go in, they get into it. So finally they just leave. They tell the guy to fuck off. And they leave. Yeah. And she doesn't go back.
Sounds about right.
"Tell me how to do my job." My buddy doesn't play that game.
For those of you listening who aren't cops, a lot of times if you're nice and you go, "Hey, this person is being a pain in the ass, we'll see what we can do to help you out."
Yes.
But if all that person's doing is being a pain in the ass and then you try to tell me how to do my job,
there's an issue.
Bye.
Bye. Nice. Where do you work? Oh, okay. "Can I tell you how to make a multi-billion dollar purchase of a Lego company that you don't need? The fuck out of here." All right. So then here's a call. I'm next to my buddy Danny, and I get this call. "See the complainant who has water leaking into his outlet." I'm like, "What?
Why is that a police call?"
And then she says, "We have the fire department on the way." It's like, 11 o'clock at night. I go, "Please don't send the fire department. This isn't even a fire department call, I don't think."
Well, they might be able to help with getting the water off.
Okay.
Which
so
would
I
solve the problem.
I go, and it's at, we have a bunch of tricky addresses in our town. So when we train new guys, we have a list of addresses that don't fit. Our town's so old, buildings have popped up. The addresses are out of sequence, or in this case, they're hidden. Like, this building is an apartment building with an address of 3848, whatever this main street is. If you go to the 3800 block, you see 3810, 3820. As you're going north, the addresses get, higher. 3810, 3820, 3750. So behind 3750 is the 3848 building. You can't see it anywhere. A postman, I don't know how they get their mail, whatever. So I'm there. I know exactly where it's at. Guy's outside. He says, "Yeah, come in my apartment and I'll show you." I'm like, "Okay, this isn't a police matter, right?"
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I might get electrocuted.
He said something about fava beans and something else, Chianti, I don't know. So I'm like... Okay, so I go in his dark apartment. He goes, "Over here in the bathroom." He's on the ground floor. So we go in the bathroom, and on the wall is an outlet next to a sink, or what used to be an outlet, because now there's like duct tape over it and burn marks on the wall. So he pulls down the tape, and it's just an open outlet with the wires. And I said, "Where's the outlet that used to be there?" And he said, "Well, my wife was charging her phone, and then it started on fire. So we pulled everything out, and there's water coming into this electrical box where the outlet used to be." So he just like pulled the outlet, shut the power off. I said, "Did you contact a contractor? Because this ain't a police matter. I don't know what to tell you. But so at the same time, the fire department hasn't gotten there yet. He goes, "Well, I'm on the phone." He rents from the condo owner. So a woman purchased the condo, rents it out to him. She's on the phone. "My landlord wants to talk to you." I go, No. "She doesn't want to talk to me. I got nothing to do with this." Tell her to call a contractor. I got to go find the fire department. They're lost. They're down at 3810. They've left the truck. They're walking westbound looking for 3848. They get all the way to the end of the apartment buildings and notice there's no 48. Now they're completely lost. So I get on the air and, tell dispatch where I'm at and how to find me. And then I walk down the driveway and flag them down with a flashlight. And they're like, "What are we doing here?" I'm like, "Exactly. But this is cool. I've never seen this. Gotta come see this. This guy's got water coming through conduits into an outlet." And so we go upstairs in the apartment above him. I make entry into there. Person was very nice. This is where you go above and beyond, right? I got nothing else to do. And I know I got nothing going to come out of this. Unless
I bet the guy was nice.
Oh, he was nice. Yes, he was very nice.
See? If you're nice.
Right. Things happen.
We do more.
So.
Even if we don't have to.
He goes, you know, shows the fire department where his self-contained AC unit is. And then they go in the apartment adjacent to his. They check that one. It's dry. I go in the one above his. And then the one above that, two floors up. I get into all the apartments above him. All of them are bone dry. I have no idea. I don't know where the water was coming from. I've never seen water dripping into an electrical box where it's piped in with conduit from somewhere. Who the hell knows? But
yeah, it's weird.
I spent like 40 minutes there. And then I'm like, okay, it's time. I'm bored.
Right, I'm bored now.
Right. It's time to go. I got other shit to do. So I left. And then the last call of the night, which was a pain in my ass, it was a hot call. We get a call of a down wire on a car at my buddy's restaurant, and there may be people inside the car. A gray Honda, it's sparking. All right, so we're flying lights and sirens. And I get up there. Now it's after closing. The restaurant's closed. I'm looking for a gray Honda. I pull into the parking lot. There's one car in the parking lot. It's red. Okay, that ain't it. I go around the parking lot, go east through the lot, turn north through the other side of the lot. There's not a goddamn car in the parking lot that's gray or silver, nor is there one that has a power line on top of it. So my partner goes, "Hey, Mike, I'm over here at this location, and there's a gray Honda van here. It's across the street." I'm like, "Okay, I'll go over there." And apparently that's the caller. So I said, "She's driving a gray Honda." I said, "What's going on?" And she speaks not very good English. She's Polish, I think, or some Slavic.
Is that a Polish accent?
This is a Polish accent. It's no problem. That's Polish.
that's like my Spanish accent of "It's okay."
See, so I said, "Did you call us?" "Yeah, I did." "Okay, I don't see anything." Oh, she walks across the street back to the restaurant with me. And I go, "What did you see?" "I was over there in the restaurant outside having a drink. And I saw this flames on fire or the wire on fire or something." I said, "I'm looking at the power lines." Mind you, I worked for the power company that these lines belong to for 12 years. I know what I'm looking at. There's not one that's down. There's none that are compromised. There's none that are frayed. I'm like, "What did you see?" "I saw this spark and a fire on the power line above the car." And I said, "Okay." The first question to her...
How drunk are you?
Well, that was the second question. The first question to her was, could it have been like a bottle rocket? Firework?
No.
I said, "No." "Really? Okay." And then I said to her, this is what I exactly said to her, "Have you been drinking tonight?" She got so mad at me. "Oh, am I drunk because I don't know what I'm seeing?" I said,
"Yes.
Possibly, because look, the fire department's there now. They're like, what the fuck's going on?" I'm like, "I don't know. There's no wires down here. There's no cars. There's nothing." I said, "You made us drive here at lights and sirens because you said there was something on fire and a car, and it was touching a car." "Oh, it might have been a... I don't think your phone caller knows what I'm saying. Communication breakdown." I'm like, "Yeah, so there's some kind of breakdown here." So she got pissed when I asked her if she was drinking, and she stormed off, and I looked at the fire department and go, "Okay, we can go. There's nothing
I guess we're
here.
Done.
I guess we're done."
Yeah, drunk That's people it. Get really mad when you ask them if they're drunk.
Well, I'm hoping she wasn't drunk because she was driving, and I didn't smell any alcohol, so she was just, I'm just going to say,
Mistaken.
I'll be nice. I'm just going to be nice. All right. That's all I got for the weekend. It was very, very, very slow. Monday, Tuesday. Thank God. All right. So we're done with that. And unfortunately, we've got quite a few fallen officers this week. So we're going to get into that. You know, last week we had, while we were doing the falling officer segment, you actually texted me And we have that officer on here as well. So I will go over these. Bay City Police Department in Texas. They lost on July 15th, 2021, Detective Juan Alfonso John Delgado. And Officer or Detective Delgado passed away due to complications of COVID. I don't know about you, but Illinois is now seeing a spike in COVID, actually really bad. And
LA County's already back to requiring masks. And
okay, us too.
Yeah, we're seeing spikes too, but
so this is one of many officers. Yes, one of many officers that passed away from COVID recently on this list. The second one would be Childress County Sheriff Office in Texas. Reserve Deputy Tom Larry Hubler. His end of watch was July 17th, 2021. He suffered a heart attack. He was actually on duty in his car assisting someone when he passed away quietly in his car, which is, at least, hopefully it wasn't painful, but they said quietly. The third one, Shelby County Sheriff's Office in Tennessee. Deputy Sheriff Ray W. McCrary Jr. His end of watch was July 20th, 2021. He also died of COVID. That's the second one. St. George Police Department in Utah. Officer Adam Ashworth, end of watch July 22nd, 2021. He passed away from COVID as well. Clark County Sheriff's Office, Detective Jeremy Brown, end of watch July 23rd, 2021. He suffered from gunfire. He was killed in an incident by gunfire. Kern County Sheriff's Office. This is the one that you had texted me about. Deputy Sheriff Philip Campus. End of watch July 25th, 2021. He also was shot and murdered in a shooting incident. Selma Police Department in Alabama. Officer Marquise Moorer. End of watch July 27th, 2021. He was ambushed at his apartment while on lunch break at 4 in the morning and murdered. His girlfriend was also shot. They actually caught that guy. I just saw an update today that he was, he's been caught. And the last one is Red Lake Nation Police Department in Minnesota. Officer Ryan Bielke. End of watch July 27th, 2021 from gunfire as well. And we did have one canine that passed away. Michigan State Police, Canine Rex, his end of watch July 25th, 2021 from a vehicle crash. Do you have anything to add on those, all of those gentlemen and dogs?
We actually had another canine the same day, Canine Jazz.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
From the Savannah Police Department in Savannah, Georgia. Same thing.
Okay, from a crash?
His handler's patrol car was involved in a crash, and it ended up causing fatal injuries to Canine Jazz.
Well, our prayers and thoughts go out to all those families, all those departments, and the handlers of the two canine officers as well.
Yeah. You don't see a whole lot of uproar over Officer Moore's murder.
No, right?
Because that was planned out.
Oh, that was definitely planned out.
That took time, effort, planning.
You got to think that someone's following him around while he's on shift, I think, getting his routine, because he probably goes home for lunch at the same, relatively around the same time. every day. We're a creature, creatures of habit.
It doesn't scream like spontaneous.
No, he's just walking down the street and decide to murder a police officer when he's on his lunch break. So I agree. All right.
But he has been charged with capital murder, so that's...
And attempted capital murder, of the girlfriend.
Yes.
So let's hope that they're down in a state where they'll actually kill this guy. For me, it's an eye for an eye. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, fair is fair.
We do have a number of heroes of the week. The first one I have was in Alabama. A police chief, a police lieutenant, and a firefighter worked together to get a family to safety. Auburn, Alabama, hello. A team of first responders were hailed as heroes after they made a dramatic rescue during an armed standoff on Sunday, according to WRBL. Police Chief Cedric Anderson, Lieutenant Cody Hill, and firefighter Andrew Kaiser used a ladder to rescue several family members who were trapped on the second floor of a home. Police said the incident began as a domestic violence call. An actual domestic violence call, not an argument, that escalated quickly. When officers arrived, a man began shooting at them. Officers returned fire. Then the suspect retreated inside his house, and then SWAT was called out. While all that was going on, this police chief, the lieutenant, and the firefighter grabbed a ladder that the firefighter brought, went to a window on a second floor, got the family out of the house. I can't see doing this. This is amazing. Where's this guy in the house? They don't know, but they go to the window, make contact, get the rest of the family out of the house. Then SWAT goes in once the family was safe and they took custody of the suspect. He was shot and is in stable condition. There's a big group of heroes there, but you know, to get a ladder and go up to a window with an armed subject in there and get those people out, is amazing to me.
Very fortunate it worked out that way.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before, Brandon. That's happened.
Yeah, it's... I mean...
Right, have you?
I mean, if you think about it from a just totality of the circumstances, like it's a big roll of the dice.
Hell yeah, it is.
So, I mean, good for them that it worked out.
Yeah.
But man.
All right. On to the next one. North Carolina, I love this one. These guys are heroes to me because this is what our job's about and people don't get to see this very often. So North Carolina troopers take a stranded elderly woman to lunch. So they didn't save up anybody, but a pair of troopers went above and beyond to help a woman who ran out of gas along the interstate. So she runs out of gas. One trooper shows up. A second trooper shows up. They've been identified as Lynch and Collins. That also sounds like a TV show.
It sounds like a buddy-like cop show.
It does. They say two state troopers identified as Lynch and Collins. Apparently, they don't have first names.
No. Their first name is Trooper.
Trooper Lynch and Trooper Collins. They sat with the woman in her car. Lynch sat with the woman in the car while Coggins went to go get gas. And then when they were done, they invited her to lunch with two other troopers, Troopers Foster and Gibbs. Now, that's a buddy cop show name.
Yeah.
Foster and Gibbs. Next on NBC, Foster and Gibbs. So a fellow diner took a picture of the four troopers and the elderly lady and shared it on Facebook. I like the good-hearted stories, too. We don't have to be all about, you know,
it's just
violence
being
and death.
Being a good human.
Yes. The third one, New York cops and a passerby lift the car off of a baby pinned beneath a drunk driver's car. Did you watch this whole video?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch the video.
All right, so I watched the video maybe three times before I actually saw what happened on the video. There's a car that turns left. It strikes another car, which strikes a parked car. That's all I saw the first time. And then it cuts to body cam footage of everyone inside of this business and a police officer lifting up a car. And I'm thinking, how the fuck did this car get in that business? I didn't see it. Watch the video again. Drunk guy makes a left, hits a car. That car hits another car, and I lost sight of where the drunk car went. But I watched it a third time. Drunk guy makes a left, hits a car, bounces off that car, careens towards this building. There's a woman walking across the street minding her own business, gets hit by the car, ends up on the hood, and then she goes through the building on the car, which then runs over a baby inside the building. Yeah, if you get a chance, watch the video a couple of times and just watch the car that's turning from the top of the screen. So then there's body cameras in there, body cam footage of the officers lifting up this car and then pulling a baby out from underneath it. It's unbelievable. So the video showed an accused drunken driver, veered into a child's unsuspecting mom as she crossed the street with a baby in her arms. Oh, that's where I was wondering where the baby came from, because you don't see that on the camera. I saw the mother walking across the street, and I see her get hit and scooped up onto the front of the car. So then they both went through the window. Oh, my God. So anyways, the officer's lifting up the car saying, grab the baby. Officer Fusco. Holy shit, dude. So anyways, if you guys get a chance to watch this video, these are all on policeone.com. So I got those guys. And then the last one would be, this one isn't on your rundown. I added this to my own. Fort Worth PD, hello, says a shooter was stoned to death with landscaping bricks.
This I saw.
You did see this. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, Fort Worth, Texas, a group of people stoned a shooter to death with concrete landscaping bricks early Monday morning, Fort Worth police said. Officers responded to a shooting in the 5600 block of Shiloh Drive and found multiple gunshot victims. Police were told there was a gathering in the backyard of a home. Someone got upset, left, and then returned. After an argument, the same attendee who left and returned then, quote, shot at least one person, police said. Other people at the party started chasing the shooter. The shooter turned and fired at other people, police said. A group picked up concrete landscaping bricks and started throwing them at the shooter, like in the movie It. Rock fight! Right? Police said at some point, the shooter was caught by the group and either fell or was taken down to the ground. But the shooter continued to shoot. One shooting victim was pronounced dead on the scene. Another shooting victim was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. Police said the shooter, who was hit with the landscaping bricks, was pronounced dead on the scene. Names were not yet released. Death by landscaping brick.
That's the most Texas story I've ever seen.
I absolutely love it. No, usually you say, don't bring a landscaping brick to a gunfight.
Well,
but
I mean, unless you're in Texas.
Yeah. Everything's bigger in Texas. Those landscaping bricks must be huge.
Seriously, jeez.
So we don't have a badass of the week, although I would like to name the officer who lifted the car.
The stoners.
Hey, man. Not those kind of stoners, but the people who stoned.
Other stoners.
Yeah. We'll call the whole group badasses of the week. We don't have names, so we can't send them plaques.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our law enforcement segment of tonight's show. What do you got on the woodworking side, Brandon?
Well, right now we are on the eve of demo day.
Woohoo! Is Chip Gaines coming over tomorrow?
I wish, man.
Me too.
That'd be great.
I want to be friends with Chip Gaines.
I do too. I've considered moving to Waco just to try to be friends with him.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, we're the kitchen remodel that I've talked about a lot is finally starting now that we got the last of our kind of vacations out of the way.
Yeah.
So now tomorrow I have to go deliver the dowel table.
Giddy up. No glue or no screws in that table.
Yep. So
was easy peasy.
Survive the oh God. It was fun and frustrating all simultaneously, but I am looking forward to getting it out of the shop so I have a little bit more room.
It was a learning experience.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun. So I got to go drop that off. On the way back, I got to pick up plywood for the pantry insert.
Yes.
That we're going to do. And
you're picking up plywood. How much does it cost per sheet?
I'm afraid I'm so afraid.
Have you checked or no?
I did. I think Sandiply is, I want to say like $60.
Oh, it's gone down a little bit. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like the prices have gone down a little bit, but like Birch is still over $90.
I'm looking on my Home Depot app for the price of plywood by me.
Yeah. It's, I would say it's high enough that I'm considering MDF.
Well, that's going to be really heavy, dude.
I know, and I don't want to do it.
How big is 18 millimeters? Is that like half inch?
I don't know.
So 18 millimeter sanded plywood is $60 a sheet, 4x8.
Yeah. It's going to be out of 3/4 inch.
Do you have a wood store by you? Because I don't, when I build cabinets and stuff, is this going to be something that's going to be finished and you're going to, or painted?
It's going to be painted.
Okay, so maybe half inch MDF, it won't be so heavy.
Yeah.
What are you going to make it? Yeah. That's going to be inside the whole pantry?
Yeah, so we have this, it's called a buffet, a little area. I had no clue what it was called before.
A buffet.
Yeah.
Hold on. Every time you say buffet, this is what I think of. Is this the man who wrecked a buffet at the Herald Club? That's from Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So, but what it actually is just a separate counter with cabinets from like the rest of the kitchen.
Okay.
It's basically a catch-all area right now. So we are going to remove the uppers, demo out the countertop, backsplash, take out the lowers, and then in that empty void, build a built-in shelving unit. And then we're going to build panel doors to close it, make it a nice little pantry. So that we actually have a pantry storage area to free up some space in the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
So
maybe 3/4 is the best way, but it's going to be so fucking heavy, dude.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So I that's what's keeping me from doing MDF.
It's nice to paint. You got to get an oil-based primer to prime it though.
Yeah. So I'm probably still going to just do the plywood.
Okay.
And I don't want to do the sanded ply because it's such a rough, a rough finish. I don't like it.
Here's what I was going to say.
I don't want to spend the freaking,
well, when I make
like $90,
when I need plywood for cabinetry or bookshelves and stuff, I go to an actual wood store and I buy maple, maple ply or something, an actual really nice sheets of plywood. I pay a little bit more, but it's top quality. Every sheet of plywood I've ever purchased from Home Depot warps.
Yeah. And you know what? Now that I'm starting to think, because the gears are turning, we do have a lumber yard. They're not a hardwood dealer, but I might roll through there.
It's possible. We have a place called Owl Lumber. They have a couple locations. None of them are actually near me anymore, but I will drive the hour because not only do they have fantastic hardwood stuff, their sheet goods are spectacular. Mm-hmm. Just really top grade quality sheet plywood that doesn't warp. So it's worth the effort to find it.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be seen, who cares?
Yeah.
But that's going to be seen and used. So.
Yeah.
But MDF, the only bad thing is it's heavy. That's it.
Yeah. So that's the big thing that we're going to have going on.
Okay.
We got to use it's through Anna White. She has a great YouTube channel and blog.
Yes, she does. And I've actually got my plans for that bathroom vanity. The turned leg bathroom vanity I built was from Anna White's page.
Okay, so she has that little shelf helper thing. So I used that for the design of the pantry insert.
Okay.
And then got all my dimensions. And instead of having them cut it and send it all to me, got all the dimensions, jetted over to Cutlass Optimizer.
Yeah, I love that app. I even have it on my phone.
Inputted everything in there.
Oh, yeah.
Spit out exactly how much I'm going to need, so I got to go pick up 3 full sheets.
Okay. That is, whoever invented that's a genius.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's my hero of the week.
I have a buddy who I hike with, Yeah. And he's a fantastic craftsman. He's a woodworker. He used to build homes. He's one of my best friends. He's a sergeant. And he hand built a bunch of bedroom furniture for his son. Beautiful stuff. Never knew about Cutlist Optimizer. Until one day I said, hey, I'm looking to do this job, and I put everything in this app. He's like, what is that? I'm like, Cutlist Optimizer. What the fuck is that? And I go, oh, dude, you need this tool. This is the best tool ever made. So for anybody out there that needs to do sheet good work, I use it specifically for my sheet goods, not for, you know, hardwood stuff. But it lays everything out, all your cuts, numbers them. You can print it out on paper. It tells you all your rip cuts. It's just a fantastic tool.
Yeah, and it helps cut down on waste.
Oh my God, you use every piece. Yeah, it's great. That's the main thing for it. It eliminates a lot of waste.
Yeah, so I could probably get away with 2.5 sheets, but I'm going to do 3 full.
Nah, yeah.
That, and then all the extra, I mean, I'll find use for the extra stuff.
I'm sure
stuff.
You need we shop furniture.
A bunch of beer caddies. Actually, I don't have room for any more shop furniture. Now that I have my big outfeed assembly table.
Yeah.
I'm pretty well maxed out on space. So now it's just kind of finding where I can put some things without having to completely tear down the garage and start from scratch. Because I do have to share it with, you know, the kids have their bikes and their outdoor play stuff in there. But other than that, I've pretty much monopolized everything. And most of the stuff I do is usually pretty small. So I don't need a ton of space.
Okay. I was thinking about moving my big ass outfeed table over a little bit because, you know, I want to buy that jointer and it's got like a 72 inch outfeed tables, 72 inches. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to put that thing? If I put it on the wall, I want to put it on. You feed from the right side, you know, across. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a wall. I want to put it on a wall that butts up to a wall. I wouldn't be able to get the long pieces of wood onto it from the right because there's a wall. I don't know. If I flip it around, then I can bring wood in from outside the shop. I would see the back of the jointer. I'd have to leave, you know, 2 feet in front of it between the jointer and the wall where I could walk. But I'd be able to bring lots of long pieces of lumber. I don't fucking know. I'm confused. I want to buy it.
Gotta work with what you got.
I don't want buyer's remorse. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I'm kind of worried about that. But I'll use it, you know, I think.
Well, do you need a joiner that big? I know you want one.
Well, I have that 6-inch benchtop model that is on a wanky cart that scares me when I use it. And I could make the carts, you know, sturdier and shorter, lower to the ground. So it would be more ergonomically correct when I plane stuff, or I'm sorry, when I joint stuff. But I have this big stock and I'd have to, you know, resaw it down to 6 inches just to put it on that jointer, and then I'd lose some of the wood. I mean, I could then take that smaller piece that I just resawed and then plane and joint that and then re-glue together. What a pain in the ass that is.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of
extra
unnecessary steps.
I'd rather keep 8 inches of wood instead of 6 inches.
Yeah.
That 2 inches makes a big difference.
That's what she said.
It does. That's what she said. Do we need any of the stuff that we have? No, we just like to buy
Absolutely.
It.
Yes. No, you need it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I guess
Shut
I
up.
Need it. I need it for the business.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
God, my wife listens to the show, man.
Oh, in that
case,
absolutely
need this stuff.
We need everything that we're talking about. So that's a major project. You're not going to be in the shop often, are you?
Well, most of my shop time is going to be dedicated to this for the foreseeable future. The nice thing is we're doing this all kind of in stages. So this pantry is the first stage, and then we're going to decide if we're going to jump straight into the epoxy countertops or if we're going to do the all the cabinet doors.
Yeah, so you'll be in the shop quite a bit making doors.
Yeah, so I'll be in there a lot doing stuff specifically for this. So like kind of like these like custom things that I've been doing with like the dowel table or some of this other stuff that takes a lot of like brain power to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are going to be pretty much put on hold. I'm still planning on doing, like, if people order flags, you know, bottle openers.
You know, oh, you're still going to take orders.
Smaller things.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to just stop, you know, taking orders, because this is going to be a kind of a process, but it's not going to be big stuff. Like, probably the biggest stuff I'll do are flags.
Right. I just got more orders in, which I haven't started. I can't seem to get away from doing flags.
You're in high demand.
I stopped. I guess that could be a good thing. I stopped. One of my friends that I graduated high school with, she's been like the person that organizes all the get-togethers for our class of 1984.
You graduated high school before I was born.
I know.
Just want to point that out.
So did many other people that you know, maybe. So she said to me, "Hey, we're all going to be at a bar in the town where you work as a police officer. Can you make it?" And I said, "No, I'm actually working that night, but I'll swing by. I can make it that way." So I went there. My brother-in-law was there, and I got to see a bunch of people from high school I haven't seen in probably since I graduated. And then my friend Jamie said, "I need a flag from you. Her son is a Marine." I'm like, "Okay." I said, "What size do you want? You know, 37 inches or the smaller ones?" She goes, "Well, how much do they cost?" And then I told her. And she goes, "Well, I'll pay the price for the large one, but I just want the smaller one." I go, "What? No, that's not how it works. I'm not going to charge you the price for a large flag and then make a small flag for you." All right. "Then I'll just buy 4 flags from you." I'm like, "Whatever." Okay.
Whatever. It's your money.
But just, yeah, okay. So there's 4 more I got to do on top of the ones I already have on order.
Sounds like you should have just let her pay you the big flag money for the one small
for the one.
Good job. You created more work for yourself.
Once again, police officer, gotta be honest, right? That's how we do things in our field.
I'm sure her son will appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I don't know if you were done telling me about your kitchen stuff, but
well, that's pretty much all that we're gonna be.
Okay.
All we're going to be doing, at least right now, I mean, we haven't really gotten too many orders. So I think right now we're kind of doing more administrative planning things as far as, you know, I think we've kind of decided we're going to, instead of going Etsy and paying Etsy.
Yeah.
To sell our own product, we'll probably go through Squarespace.
I started a Squarespace.
Create our own thing.
Yeah, and it seems like they gave me one day to fucking put together a website.
Oh, geez.
It's like, design a website, blah, blah, blah. You've got 24 hours. I'm like, what?
I need more time.
Here's my issue with a website. I want to build one. I've already changed my name once. Was the Midnight Handyman. Now I'm the Midnight Maker. In 9 months... I'm no longer going to be on Midnights. So, I have a question for you. Do I change the company name now to, like, you know, Morazzo Woodworking, Morazzo Bullshit, whatever, or name it after my kids? Like, my son's name's Hunter. My daughter's name is Morgan. Is it like, combine the names? Hunmo,
I think H&M is already taken.
H&M Woodworking?
I got a feeling you'd get a cease and desist letter.
Or Hunmore, Hunter Morgan, Hunmore.
I think if you do change it,
yeah,
Morazzo Woodworking would be the way to go.
Yeah, so I have to decide this. Like, it's gonna change in next May. Why not do it now? Right.
Well, why not just keep Midnight Maker? That's what people know you as.
I guess.
Yes, you're not on Midnights anymore, but this was born. On Midnights.
Okay.
That's the heritage of it.
I'm just thinking of the branding aspect, and I guess if people know my moon and the MM, so it could just be Mike Morazzo Woodworking, I can still keep the same logo.
You could.
All right, I'll just keep Midnight Maker.
I mean, I think you're creating more work for yourself than you need.
How about some feedback from some of our listeners?
Send me all three of them?
All three. send me a DM or an email and let me know if I should change my name, keep my name, use my name, whatever.
Why don't you, in an effort to solicit even more of a reaction or input, you could just launch a poll on the old Instagrams.
Yeah, I will. So my point was, I went on Instagrams this week and I made a link tree in my profile. Because I see everyone's got one. So
I don't have one. I don't have promo codes or anything.
I don't have promo codes yet, but instead of just having a link to my Etsy page, I now have a link tree. Etsy, YouTube, Facebook. Back to YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. I've had a YouTube channel for many years.
It's a pretty decent one.
I appreciate it. I took a bunch of stuff off, and I'm going to be removing some more of the bullshit. I need to film a new trailer and a new shop tour video, but I've got a bunch of projects lined up for my buddy Dan, cutting board, and then we're doing a custom knife display that we just drew up the other night at work. So I'm going to start doing YouTube content again. I'm just trying to get back into it.
Because you don't have enough going on.
I have nothing going on.
All the time in the world.
All the time in the world between Instagram and podcasting and work and shop orders. I got all this gear I bought for my YouTube stuff too. A new camera, all that stuff. And I haven't used any of it. Actually, the camera was a gift from my daughter. And now I'm using it for our webcam, as a webcam for our thing. So this week, I created a YouTube channel for this podcast, which people can find at Handcuffs and Sawdust. It's the and sign, not the word and.
Yes. If you use the word and, you will not find it.
Correct. And I think I actually need to upload a video before it actually starts going. Now, you found it. You and Don found
it. Yes. Well, I found the live, or I found the stream that's scheduled for Friday.
Oh, that was supposed to be this broadcast. Now I have to delete that because I couldn't.
And then I clicked on that, and then it goes, hey, just click here to subscribe.
Oh, okay. So we were going to stream this episode as well through this open broadcast source software, which absolutely sucks. I'm having a problem with it. So I'm going to end up, I think what I'm going to do is pay the upgrade fee to Squadcast. We will get this recording, and I could just post this on our YouTube channel. I don't have to stream
That'll
live
work.
Or nothing. I download the recording, post it
and
on
then
YouTube.
Click upload.
Yes. So that's what I'm going to end up doing, paying for the extra for Squadcast, and then that will go right over to YouTube. I wanted to do some kind of streaming thing. Now, we can still stream live on our YouTube channel for this show. If we do any special events or something where we can take calls, you know, or take questions live, we can still do that in the future at some point. But I'm going to figure out the streaming software and actually
maybe
upgrade.
Maybe by episode 100.
Maybe episode 50.
Okay.
So
episode
then
50, we'll say, well, episode 50 bonanza. We'll get a Zoom call in with as many people as we can find, maybe some of our favorite guests.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And then I went on to I was going to load up all of our IG live videos onto our YouTube channel. And
that would be a good thing.
You can't download them.
Well, then that's sad.
So the only thing I can do is screen record them on my phone and then save that video. So while we're doing the IG lives, I should start recording them, a screen recording on my phone, and then I can then upload them to YouTube. So
yeah, or you could just screen record them after the fact, like just have it play and
right. I'm gonna have to do that with all the old ones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they're like 30 minutes long, so just put the phone down, let it record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go take a dump.
Whatever. Speaking of dump, this has turned into a dumpster fire. As far as projects in my shop go, I'm finishing up 5 more bottle openers because now I'm the bottle opener king. And
now you have 4 flags.
5 flags on order. Oh, plus those 4, that's 9. yeah. So last night I stained some poplar that I'm going to engrave with a badge and the patch for that big 6-foot flag.
Okay.
6-foot flag? 5 foot flag. What's 60 inches?
I think it was a 5 footer.
60 inches is 5 feet. Yeah. All right. So for the 5 foot flag, I'm going to be engraving those tonight, I think. I'm going to edit the podcast over the weekend at work so I can get some shop time done tonight.
Nice. I actually found a new use for my laser.
Laser.
So I was just scrolling through, I think it was Facebook, and one of these laser groups said, like, hey, do you think that we could, like, engrave on these wooden cell phone cases?
Of course. I saw you made some of those.
Yeah, I actually made one. Because I put it out there on Instagram.
Yeah.
I said, hey, is this a decent idea, or is this, or am I an idiot?
Well,
and you and four other
people, I only said idiot because
I think just wanted to call me an idiot.
Yes, that's why I said idiot.
But one person did reach out and said, this is awesome. I would love to be a test case.
Awesome.
So ordered up the phone case off of Amazon, got that here. And then, I mean, you talk about freaking anxiety of, like, leading up to engraving this, because I didn't know how far the laser was going to burn. I didn't know how thick the veneer was on the phone case. So I had, like, these really thin offcuts from a cutting board I was doing that had walnut that I grabbed, and I was like, well,
okay,
let me just do a test burn here. Engraved just a quick little thing on it, and it didn't burn through. So I was like, all right, cool. I either am about to waste $20 or this is going to work.
See, I don't say waste $20. Invest $20 in your idea.
Yeah. I just don't like screwing stuff up, especially if I pay money. So I want to give a quick little shout out to Hetty J. You can find her on Instagram at Love Hetty J.
We're friends.
Yeah. So I sent it out to her. I don't know if she's gotten it yet or not, but she got a walnut phone case with her logo custom engraved on it. It actually turned out really nice.
It did. Looks great.
So I was really happy with how that came out. And then I actually have a woodworker of the week.
Oh, yay. Is that a shout out or a woodworker of the week?
A shout out. We'll go with a shout out.
Okay.
So, and this is a repeat. He was my very first
Pete repeat
woodworker of the week on the show, but David Miller over at D Miller Designs.
Oh, I love
David. This dude is all things lasers. So I had reached out to him and said, because he just got the new Ortor Laser Master Pro.
Oh, sounds fancy.
So yeah, it does. So what I didn't know is that the new one, because I was thinking of upgrading my module from the little 7-watt up to the 20. So I was kind of picking his brain about it.
How much is that?
Yeah, I think it's – so if you were to buy the whole system, you know, brand new, it's about – I think I ended up paying about $200, $300. It depends on where you get it from. If you go through Amazon, you're going to pay more, but you're going to get it faster.
I thought if you you could upgrade, I was wondering what the upgrade was.
Yeah, so just upgrading the module
is
like $100, $150.
Oh, okay.
So it's not bad. And it's plug and play. It goes right in on the old machine. You just take the old laser off. So I told him, yeah, I was thinking about getting the Pro, but the new one is a 24-volt.
Okay.
And the old Laser Master 2 that they just upgraded from runs 12-volt. So they actually make a 12-volt version of the new module.
Huh.
So I was going to get that one. He goes, well, hey, I have a 15-watt, the kind of middle ground one, that's just in my shop taking up space and collecting dust. Do you want it?
Awesome.
Yeah, sure. Tell me how much you want for it. No.
Yeah.
I'm here. Here is the address.
Awesome.
So he sent that out to me. That was super, you know, nice of him. And
very cool.
He is always willing to help people that reach out to him and have questions about the laser or anything. So just one of those genuinely good people in the community that I think we like, need I think more should of. Be recognized more.
Right.
Because we do have a ton of great people in this community that go above and beyond to help people out. So I think it's important to recognize them as often as we can.
Well, I have also a shout out. So this shout out goes to my buddy Sean M at Woodworks, but his wood is spelled WUD and then a WERKS, Woodworks. See what he did there? He's got the play on wood. Sean is awesome. He does a lot of awesome flags and he does cornhole boards. I hate that name, cornhole boards. But he does some.
It's a fun game, though.
It is a fun game. It just needs a new name. But Sean does amazing work. And we hooked up about a year ago. You know, we got to know each other. And since I do a lot of flags, I think for some reason, somehow I'm known in the flag making part of Instagram. I mean, it's the only thing.
You have a pretty solid following, dude.
Yeah, I do. And I learned a lot. I've learned some stuff from Sean. He's shared some ideas with me. And, you know, we've gone back and forth. So if you guys get a chance to check out a really good guy, check out Sean. It's S-H-A-W-N. Shawan. Kind of like Sean Dunstan.
Shawan.
At Woodworks. W-U-D. And then there's a line, the dash. Works, W-E-R-K-S. What's that dash called? Just check it out.
A dash?
Lime green. Lime green logo.
I know what you're talking about, but I think that's just a dash.
Okay.
I think it's just a fancy dash.
Fancy dash. I just wanted to also say his friend and his pet had to cross the Rainbow Bridge this week. Ryder.
Man.
Yeah, I want to say I'm sorry to Sean for losing one of his best friends today. Or not today, but this week. So that's what I got, man.
What is it with you with the depressing stuff today?
What? I'm sorry.
Are you okay? Is everything okay?
It's called life. Life is depressing.
That's what people say.
Yeah, life is depressing. It is what it is, you know. So let's be upbeat. We got some good things. We got YouTube channels coming back. We got YouTube channels being created. We've got link trees going on in my bio.
Well, you have a link tree.
You're back. You had a fantastic 12-hour voyage to a state that should have taken 2 hours to go to.
It was an adventure, a 12-hour adventure.
So, yeah, I'm good. Everything's good. I'm hungry. I want to get.
It's fine. I'm fine. It's fine.
It's fine. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm going to go eat something. So do you have any words of wisdom to spew to our listeners?
I've never once spewed wisdom in my life.
Amen to that.
So let's not start now. But if by chance somebody has a question like, how the hell do we keep doing this?
Not why we keep doing it, but yeah.
No, because we don't know the answer to that one.
Right.
It's just become a habit at this point.
It is a habit.
Send your questions to either Mike or I on Instagram. You can send them to Mike at @MMMidnightMaker, or you can send it to me at Full House Woodworking, or you can send it to the show over at Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast, or email it to handcuffsandsawdustpodcast@gmail.com.
Even include a voice.
And Mike, where can they find the show?
They can find the show on every podcast platform possible except for Apple. Now, one of our listeners listens on Apple Podcasts, yet, matter of fact, bear with me because I'm going to go right to our Instagram page, to the Handcuffs and Sawdust Podcast Instagram page.
All right, I'm going to go to the Apple Podcast app right now on my phone.
Right, you do that because Nelson did it last week and couldn't find it. So here in our messaging,
is that what Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
When you signed up on Apple, did you spell out and, or is this like YouTube where you use the little, I think it's called an ampersand?
I use the ampersand because it's what's in our logo.
Okay. Let's see.
So, David Franklin. You can't find it, right?
No, I do not see it. Not on Apple, not on the Apple Podcast app.
Okay, so David Franklin of 516 Woodworks, who has contributed some questions and stuff, he sent a screen picture. I'm going to put this up to the camera so you can see it. He says, just listen to episode 8. This is, you know, a few weeks ago. You guys are on Apple Podcast. That's how I've been listening the last week. And here's a picture of his listening on Apple.
What the f...
So I don't know why no one else can find it on Apple. I have no idea, dude. That's beyond confusing. I know our listeners don't need to listen to this part, but I want it to be on Apple.
No. They're going to sit through this confusion, too.
Yeah, I might edit this out.
I don't. Nope. I say it stays.
Okay.
Handcuffs and sawdust. Podcast, maybe? Did we not add that? Did we add that?
No, I don't. I have no idea. I don't own an Apple.
It's so,
except for my computer.
So weird.
So I got to find out how he's going to be listening to this show, so he can send me an email and tell me how he found it and where he's listening to it on Apple.
Yeah, I need answers.
I need help.
Well, I thought that was implied.
No matter where you get your podcast, remember, new episodes drop on Wednesdays at midnight.
Central time.
Midnight Central time, that's right, because that's the only time that
counts.
So if
you're on the West Coast, get it 10 p.m.
That's
Tuesday
right.
Evening. You get it first.
As soon as you get in your squad. All right, we're out of here. Be safe in the shop.
I don't call it a squad. I call it a patrol car, because that's what it is.
It's a squad. Peace!
It's a patrol car.